Hello. Welcome to episode 40 of the Future of Pickleball Show. This show is brought to you by Selkirk.com and Selkirk TV. The Selkirk TV app is the most comprehensive and informative free app in the pickleball world. The Future of Pickleball will cover the most important issues going on in pickleball today. My guests and I will discuss where the sport is going, how big will pickleball get, who will lead its growth, and how will we see the ultimate future of pickleball unfold. We'll cover this and more in the Future of Pickleball show. My guest today is the mastermind behind the largest pickleball players league in the world. The Arizona Pickleball Players League, or APPL, has over 5,000 players competing alone in Arizona. The Apple League has more players in Arizona than many countries outside the U.S. and Canada. Let's talk to Greg Mather and find out how all this happened and where Apple will go next. Into this show, I want to talk to you about Selkirk's amazing line of pickleball nets. Whether you're just starting out or you're a seasoned pro, Selkirk has the perfect net for you. When you choose a Selkirk net, you're not just choosing any net. You're opting for the official net of the PPA Tour, where excellence meets professional play. With Selkirk's line of nets, you can play pickleball anywhere. Selkirk's range of nets cater to every player's needs, offering budget-friendly choices for casual enthusiasts and premium options for those who want a more competitive edge, ensuring quality play for all levels. I've got a Selkirk net myself, and let me tell you, it's a game changer. It's all about playing on your terms wherever you want. So if you love pickleball as much as I do, check out Selkirk's pickleball nets. Get the freedom to play anywhere and elevate your game with the net trusted by the pros. Selkirk's got you covered. If you're interested in getting a net of your own, go to selkirk.com/collections/nets. You can also find this link in the description of this show. All right, let's jump into it. Well, here we are, ready to go. Greg Mather, it's so nice to have you on the show. I've been looking forward to this. Welcome.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
You know, we're going to have a real good time talking about this amazing Apple League program that you do, but I'd like to start off, give me a little bit of an idea. How did you get into pickleball? Where did your journey begin?
Well, my journey actually began back in 2008. A good friend of mine, tennis buddy of mine, called me up and said, Greg, you got to come see this. I'm in a tournament, and it's a game called pickleball. And I said, you know, what? And he said, yeah, come on over. And it was in the West Valley. And so I got in the car and drove an hour and went over and watched him play. And I looked at it and said, I got to play this. And so he lived in my area, and we came back, and he showed me what I needed to do, and I bought paddles and pickleballs, and we actually together helped bring it to the East Valley in Arizona. And after that, it was a balance of tennis and pickleball, and not long after that, I needed to choose one or the other, so I stayed with pickleball.
Very nice, very nice. Now, before we get into the specifics of the league that you formed, what caused you to think that a league would be something that would be attractive or desirable, and how did you develop that idea?
Yeah, the same buddy and I got tired of playing the same guys. We all were playing each other all the time, every day just about. And we knew some people actually in Fountain Hills, and we called him up and said, hey, how about we bring some of our guys and we'll go play at your place and meet some of your guys and, you know, rotate around and what have you. And as we had a great time, and as we're driving back, I said, you know, and just a quick aside, we were both avid USTA Tennis League players. We were on a team. We actually won nationals in 2012. And I said, geez, we need to have some kind of league just like the tennis league. And so I had already run some tennis leagues in the East Valley and decided I would see if I could put something together in the pickleball world and do the same thing as an interclub league. So I pulled that together and it started to grow. Had about five clubs involved at first, and then other clubs saw what was going on and said, hey, we want to be a part of that. And then I pulled together a couple volunteers to help out. Started out with men's play, and then the women watched, and they said, we want to be a part of that. And then that grew, and then they said, well, why don't we do mixed? And it grew from five clubs to probably 20 clubs, and from, you know, 30, 40 people to about 400 people in the East Valley. And we called it the East Valley Interclub, also known as Evil Pickleball. And that caught on pretty quick too.
Cool. So then as you got the model started, at some point this had to evolve into Apple that we know of today. When did that come about?
Yeah, that came about in 2019, or in 2019. Late 2018, we had been through with our last Evil season, and I decided it's grown so much that we should consider taking it to the next step. And as it turned out, at the same time as I was kind of thinking about it, I got a phone call from a fella in Casa Grande, and he said, hey, we want to do an Evil League just like you guys up there in the East Valley. And I said, well, how many clubs do you have? And they had Palm Creek, they had Mission Royale, Ropes and Ranch, a bunch of others. And I said, well, congratulations. You're now part of the Arizona Pickleball Players League. You're going to be our Casa Grande region. And they said, what's that? And I said, well, I really don't know right now, but I'll get back to you and let you know. And that's kind of how we got started. And we started with a pilot in 2019. And again, it was a men's 4-5 group. And then sure enough, we played about 10 matches, and the women were watching us play, and they wanted to be a part of it. And so in 2020, technically, we rolled it out.
You know, as we're talking about this, we've got to go back for a lot of our viewers and understand really the goal that we have here on the Future of Pickleball show is to alert people around the country and possibly even around the world as to what happens at the tip of the spear in pickleball in America. Why don't we go back just a little bit? The Apple League is the Arizona Pickleball Players League. I'm correct in that, yes?
Yes, sir.
And so now, when you really got this going, you're talking about 2019. For the sake of people understanding what the dynamics of this were, how many players did you have going from your old original concept in 2019 that began the Apple League that continues today?
Yeah, we started out in 2019 basically with a small group, pilot size group, and that might have been maybe 90 players, just kind of proving the concept, because what we were migrating from was an interclub league to a lot like tennis, to a, hey, I've got a bunch of buddies, I'm going to form a team, I'm within this age bracket, and now I'll sign up and form a team. So there was no club requirement or anything like that. And then the next year we went from about 90 to 1,100. The next year we went from about 1,100 to 2,500. And now we're at, and we continue to grow, and we're now at players involved. We're at about 5,000 players and 450 teams across the state.
And so So as this thing was blowing up and doubling itself for more from year to year, it was the demand in the marketplace and these different cities. So a lot of our viewers might not know where Pebble Creek is or Casa Grande. These are areas, these are an hour or further from where you were. And then, of course, you expanded on into Tucson, which is a couple of hours away. Is that correct?
Right. What we did at first was, as I mentioned, we had the Casa Grande and the East Valley region. Then the West Valley folks in the west side of Phoenix said, hey, we want to do it. And we got a lot of folks were also from Tucson and had heard about it. Some of the Tucson players played up in the Casa Grande region. And they said, we want to do it. So we ended up growing, adding with those regions. We always started out with genders teams. And then we would, after the first year, we would migrate that region to mixed doubles also. But so we ended up with four regions, a southern region, a Casa Grande region, a West Valley region, and an East Valley region, where they all had enough teams at all the different skill levels, men, women, eventually mixed, that therefore, with enough teams in each of the flights, you could have plenty of games to play over a period of 12 weeks, 10 to 12 weeks, and then emerge as a regional champion in your flight. We actually then, a lot of the Tucson folks, some of the Casa Grande folks, and even East Valley and West Valley, spend their summers up in the White Mountains. About a third of the people head north, a third of the people go to the White Mountains, and then there's a third of us that hang around here in the heat. And sure enough, our fifth region opened up called the White Mountain region, and that is technically, that's really a summer league, not our major league in the wintertime, but that's grown fabulously. And people who have played Apple before said, hey, we want to have that up here in the summertime. So sure enough.
You know, the one of the things that I'd like to do is I'd like to get into kind of the details of the structure so that people understand what makes up an Apple team, because I want to lead into how all these different pieces of the puzzle came together to make this thing so successful. Let's start with the what does a team look like in Apple?
Yeah, great question. And you're right. I'm making it sound easy, like the southern region opened up and all that, but there is a lot more to it. But the a team, and this is very important, because originally they said, well, we're in a league and we have a team, you know, Greg and Bob, that's a team. A team, it consists of 10 to 14 people on your roster. So that's a roster. And then on match day, you take 10 or 14 of those, you sit, find out who's available, and you're going to field six players in your lineup on match day. So that's the definition of a team when it comes to Apple. And we call it team-based league pickleball. So then what's the definition of a league? A lot of people say, well, yeah, I'm in a league. Every Wednesday we go and play at this park and da-da-da-da. And it's really a round-robin league, which are great. You know, I played in a dozen of them. And in this case, a league is a organization or an event that's held over a period of weeks. In our case, it's 10 to 12 weeks. And it's typically based on a schedule. Your team is going to play once a week for that period of time. Depending on how many teams are in your flight, it might vary a little bit. But that's a league. So you have 14, our average is 12.56 players per roster. And but 10 to 14 is typical. You go play for a period of 3 months, and you'll play at either, maybe you have a HOA that supports you. We did a lot of work getting into HOAs, telling them, hey, are your courts vacant in the afternoon? And they said, yeah, well, you've got a lot of people interested in playing. In Arizona, it's nice. The afternoons are just fine in the wintertime. And instead of being vacant, why don't you dedicate some courts to allow them to play in the league? What it takes on their end is, okay, all we need is three courts for 2 hours. So those six players are going to meet the other six players on the team, and they're going to play two games to 11. So you and I are going to play another pair, and we're coming in with three pairs on our team. We're going to play two games to 11 against one of their pairs. Then you and I will play two games to 11 against their other pair, and then another two games to 11 to the third pair. So there's no worry about line one, line two, line three, meaning this is the best line and this is the same. We're going to play everybody on that team. So you and I are going to get to play six games. And then our first, it's kind of funny, when people were new to it and tried to understand it better, they said, well, why don't you play two out of three? Well, we're only going to play for 2 hours. And if,
right.
You know, if you're win, if you win in two and the other pair is going 11-9, 9-11, 12-10, you're totally out of sync. And, but even, and more importantly, it's not about you and your partner, how they did in reality as their own pair. It's how many team points did you get for your team? So in that 2 games to 11, if you won the first game 11-7, you get 2 team points for your team. If you win the second game 11-3, you get two more team points for your team. That's what it's all about. And then let's say you and I are the worst pair on our team. The beauty of Apple, it's been become known as kind of, we're proud of it, as the Apple point. So let's say you and I lose the first game 11-7. They get 2 team points, but the fact that we got more 6 or more points, even in our loss, we get 1 team point.
Good.
And this is what makes it so exciting. I get goosebumps every time I talk about it. But it's the, what's great is we might be the worst pair, didn't expect to contribute much, but and maybe we lost all our games 11-2, 11-3, but now we're out there and it's 9-5, the other team's winning. And if we could just get that 6th point, and we're the last game of the third round, you know, and if we could get that 6th point, our team's going to win 23-22. And everybody's watching, you know, and sure enough, we get that 6th point, and boom, we got it. And that's what makes this thing so exciting. And that's what team-based league pickleball is all about. You know, you're all together on the, you know, that team and just having a good time and enjoying the sport in a different way.
You know, you've kind of gotten into my next question already, and that was over the course of this time, I'm guessing you've probably had some evolution, you've evolved your rule or your team structure. If you could summarize that for somebody that's listening that wants to not have to go through the learning curve that you guys have already been through, what would you say is sort of the core structure that any other developer, organizer who wants to do team should look at?
If you want to do team-based league pickleball, number one, you need to talk to the, you need to have some volunteer support to kind of orchestrate things. You need to have support of communities that might be team generators. You need to have captains support. You need to have a set of captains, typically the leaders in their little groups and what have you, that might be willing to be a captain. And then some standardization, coordination, infrastructure, you know, to help execute it. We'll probably get to this, but Apple nowadays can help you do that. But when we went to the different organizations, we said, you just need 2 or 3 people within your HOA or your pickleball club. A lot of times the HOAs had pickleball clubs that were really the decision makers. Sometimes the HOAs were. And if you didn't have an HOA, then there's venues. So you need to have venue support that may come from your home HOA, or it may come from a public park that Apple or you have some agreement with. And you get some support within the HOA, if that's what's there, or the pickleball club. You look for your leaders, captains that are well-networked to form teams or help teams be formed. And sometimes we call them community administrators. and then your volunteers to help, you know, tell them the rules and where they can find information and answer their questions and things like that.
So then, I know when I was in preparation for this and I was looking at the Apple website, and we'll get back to you being able to guide people to that, because that's quite a resource in itself. But one of the things that I noticed is on your website alone, within your leadership team and then your regional director teams, you have 34 people that are listed on your website, and you're describing the team captains. Volunteerism sounds like it's a really critical part of being able to engineer something that turns out to be 5,000 players.
Yeah. Without an exceptional group of volunteers, we would have never accomplished what we have. And the volunteer count has grown every year. We've added regions, obviously. We've added divisions. And we've added... We focus a lot on player experience, and we might get to that too, but we have volunteers just focused on that. And let's say a player is out there and they'd like to be on a team, but they don't know anybody. We have a small group that supports what we call our players seeking a team. They're way behind the scenes, but they help put in a system where players can make themselves known, and captains say, hey, I'm short a couple people. I know I'm going to be short because sometimes you can't field six people, so you need to have a few more players on your roster. And now they can go find and see, you know, go find players at that skill level. In addition, that same group of people may look at our log of, wow, there's... 15 or 20 3.0 players looking to be on a team. Why don't they just form a team? Sure. And it's a great, we call it Apple Seeds. We have a similar program called Bite of Apple. And they then pull these people together, get them to know each other, play a little Apple type team pickleball, so that they get experience and know what it's all about. And then sure enough, almost all the time, a captain comes forward, a leader comes forward and says, hey, I'll try being a captain. And we help the captain out a little bit. And and what's great, just as an aside, at least three occasions that I can remember, and this is over a period of a couple of years of this, that team, or one of those teams, in this case a 3.0 mixed team that comes to mind immediately, a couple years ago, they made it to the state championships, and they won. And so that was a team that was formed that these people didn't even know each other before they started. And now they're best friends, and they go to each other's birthday parties, and they're state champions. So, but the volunteer structure is significant, and it's without that, Apple wouldn't be successful, both in aids and doing YouTube videos for training. We have venue managers that are responsible, because we have great relationships with a lot of venues that support Apple, that are responsible to make sure we meet the venue requirements, because they're not all the same. The different parks have different requirements. Different pay-to-play, you know, clubs that are popping up everywhere have different requirements, and we are obligated to make sure we meet those requirements.
So with all of the history that you guys now have and the enormity, I mean, it's just to say the word 5,000 players in one state is just remarkable. I understand that you're beginning to get some interest, or have maybe even moved on some things in other markets in the country. Can you talk about that a little bit, about who's piggybacking with what you guys have already figured out?
Yeah, that's great, because it's also our vision to, and now we're making progress, to not just stop at the state championship level, but to also provide a path for a national championship. And Even before we were working hard on that angle, our first step was, let's prove this thing in Arizona and show everybody it can really work.
Right.
We had an organization from Dallas call us and said, and asked, you know, tell us about, I heard you're doing team-based league pickleball. We're connected with the same software engine company that you are, and they told us to call you because we're tennis right now, but we want to do pickleball. So we told them all about it, how to orchestrate it, and they now have a pretty good size league going on. More recently, in Florida, again, they heard about us through a friend of one of our regional manager in our regional director in the West Valley. They said, we don't want to reinvent the wheel, but we really believe in team-based league pickleball. And could you tell us more about it? And could you help us? And so we did that. And I'm convinced they're in their second season now. I think they're doing two seasons a year, but they're in their second season. And I tell them, in 2 to 3 years, you're going to be bigger than Apple is. And they were able to give them templates, give them access to videos. Our captain's guide is an outstanding captain's guide to help the captains execute their responsibilities and understand some of the nuances about the software and the league management software. So we've done that with Florida, and they're doing a great job. We did that with Utah already. Utah is now one of the leaders in our national effort. We did that with Nevada, did that in Ohio, in Cincinnati. I have a phone call on Friday with a gentleman in Northern California coming up. So the goal in our mind was, we have to have standardization to have any hope of having a national pathway. Apple, we've got a lot of years of experience, and so Apple is, I think, worth talking to if you want to save time and not have to go through some of the experiences we had to go through. And then I think once you see what we have to offer, you'll sign up and say, yeah, we want to be a part of this program. And now the program that we had a couple names over the last year and a half, 2 years, but we nailed it down as the National Team Pickleball League, NTPL. And we've got great leadership in that organization, from especially from Utah, but they have good connections throughout other states as well. And we're confident that this now is taking hold and people are signing up to the format. And we've got some national championships actually coming up at the end of the year.
Very nice. You know, it's interesting. I'm a resident, and many people may not know that I'm a resident in Arizona, and I've played in Apple leagues. And the thing that I was anxious to get you on is you guys have done so much of actually creating very close to the perfect model. And one of the things that I travel extensively in the market space, and I hear about different people doing different things, and you applaud every one of those efforts. But to have achieved the magnitude of event that you guys have, I think it's a real testament to you and that whole team that you guys have put together, because managing 5,000 cats is not an easy thing. And that herding cats mentality is a big part of what you guys have had to do.
It really is, and that's why we're so dependent on our volunteers, our league coordinators, the external facing part of it. You know, a lot of people don't know what goes on the inside in some of these examples I gave, but the league coordinators are clearly the external face, and the addition, it'd be easy if we just said, okay, here's what it's going to be, now go off and do it. But we're constantly trying to improve, and we've obviously done that over the years, but And every time we improve, we think of something that's going to make an add benefit, add a more positive experience to the players, or perhaps reduce the workload of the league coordinator. That usually means a change is going to happen. Some people don't understand changes, and they need to understand it, maybe if for no other reason to buy into it. But that takes coordination, it takes answering questions, it takes, you know, people not understanding and maybe not happy with something until they understand why we're doing this change. And that all falls on our league coordinators, and they do a great job of explaining that. We organized a couple years ago, reorganized to have regional directors and then and league coordinators and some additional staff in each region to help be real close to, because sometimes things are a little different in Southern Arizona than they might be in the West Valley. And that the local people there who are the volunteers are more tuned in to what's going on in that area. In Casa Grande, they get 20-mile-an-hour winds all the time. We don't maybe experience that where we're playing. So there are things a little bit different every in each sure. region.
You know, the one of the things that I want you to talk about a little bit that I'm very aware of, because I live in the marketplace that you're in, is how many people have found their competitive tournament experience adjusted by being able to play in a competitive league as opposed to having to travel someplace for a tournament or something of that order. And also talk a little bit about, as deep as you want to, in terms of what the cost structure is for players that are participating, because I think all of those things have been a big factor in your growth and success.
Yeah, it really has. When we first started, we said, what's our, you know, the old SWOT analysis, strength, weakness, opportunities, and threats. What's our threat? And technically, in a competitive environment, hey, our threat was tournament pickleball. You know, I played a lot of tournaments, and for a while I did okay at them. It's certainly a good thing. What we have to offer is, and because we haven't done a lot of marketing and PR work, but the word of mouth has helped pull it together. I call it the five C's. We have community. People like playing on teams, and it gives this form of community a sense. It's safer. It just feels you've got teammates. You know, you're not two players going off, you don't know anybody into a tournament, and you get to know people and then you love it. But in our case, you feel comfortable right off the bat, and especially if you're a beginner player, you feel comfortable. Now you've got a band of players that are going to experience this with you, win or lose. Convenience, the second C, is, hey, you're going to play locally. You're also going to play for 2 hours instead of, if you're any good, you're playing all day long at the tournament. If you're not any good, which I gradually became to be, you're pretty much two and done. Okay, so you went from Tucson to, you know, far West Valley or wherever, and you spent an hour and a half getting up there by 7:30 in the morning or whatever, and now you're on your way back. Or you're really good and you're won gold, and that was a 12-hour experience. Here, it's 2 hours, and you're on your way home. The cost, that really started to ring a bell with folks, because over the years, everyone knows tournaments have gotten more expensive, and our cost is still, for the whole season, less than the cost of one sanctioned tournament. So, and that would include, I mean, our registration cost is ridiculously cheap, but in some cases, not all cases, 50% of the cases, people won't have a HOA court to play at. They'll play at a pay-to-play place. Maybe it's a club that rents courts or has memberships or whatever. But it's still less than the cost of one tournament. Then again, competition, the fourth C, you still want to play. I mean, we could play in our local round robin stuff and have some fun, but to have a little element of competition, which actually has some carrots at the end of it, a state championship is really cool. A regional championship is cool. And to be assured of competition, so it's not like we're putting everybody together in one pot. Not that I'm not talking that tournaments do or anything, but there's 2.5 flights, there's 3.0 flights, there's 3.5 flights. So you're going to be playing at a skill level similar to yours. We now, over time, because of our growth, not every startup can do that. We couldn't do it originally, but now we have age divisions. So you're going to play in the 50 plus group or the 65 plus group. We're now starting to build our 18 plus group. So you're playing competitively within there. And then lastly, which we've talked about a lot already, but the fifth, and all of them are important, but if this one doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. And that's coordination. If this thing isn't coordinated, if you don't have some structure or league coordinators, so to speak, but structure in general and formats and rules and all the other stuff that goes with it, then it's not going to be fun. And so with those, that's what has fueled the growth. We've done a pretty good job in all of those C's, and people have migrated to this form of play.
Very nice. You know, you're leading me into my, as we're wrapping this up, one of my last big questions is the R's, and it starts with ratings. How do you guys deal, because you're covering all of the age groups, you're covering all of the skill sets. Every place I go around the country, and now even around the world, the business about ratings, how do you deal with that?
Well, I'll tell you, I won't answer the how yet. We deal with it every day, and we're no different than anyone else. We believe you need to have ratings, otherwise you lose all the balance and the competitiveness gets all skewed and people don't have the experience that they were hoping for. But there are several rating systems out there. We've had to kind of go with the flow on those, and it's almost like is the tail wagging the dog or what? But there's some more popular rating systems than others. Some of them have made changes in process because they're still new and they're still working out some details. So it's been a real difficult time to depend on them. But having said all that, maybe only 30% of our players have ratings. Now, in some newer systems, they're looking to get, participate into clubs and what have you. But still, not everybody, certainly not 50%, have ratings. And so we just use the self-rating approach. Well, how do I self-rate myself? We call it a captain's rating because we want the captain to be responsible for the ratings of their people, whether they're self or anything. But hey, if I play with you, I know your skill level and you happen to be rated. And so I know if I'm at your level, then okay, then that's probably what I am. I can self-rate there. Where we're likely to be headed is our software platform, and I'll mention it is Tennis Scores, and they have a Pickleball Scores platform within the company. They have obviously a Tennis Scores platform, been very successful, and they have a Paddle Scores as well. But our software platform has a very sophisticated algorithm running underneath it. So all the players, some of them know this, some of them don't, but all the players in our league have a what is called a PBSR rating. And in my opinion, the ultimate goal is to be able to use that PBSR reading, which we then have not only control over, not that we can dictate the algorithm, that's done by experts in tennis scores and the pickleball score side of things, but we can have the software of the league management system monitor and execute the ratings that we control. The analogy I would make would be, again, tennis. USTA tennis for years has their own rating system. I played it. I got bumped up, and it's like, oh, bummer, I got bumped up. Well, okay, we adjust. We formed a new team. You can do much more if you have control over that. And as we grow, we will no doubt migrate to the pickleball scores rating. One of the advantages, and one of the first things that people said, especially the tournament players, and a lot of those were the more senior or more advanced players, said when they were considering joining or playing in Apple, they wanted to, but their first question was, is my performance going to affect my tournament rating? Back then it was UTPR. And we said, no, we're not reporting scores to anybody. This is all about Apple. And they said, great. Then so they signed up and they played. And that's going to stay no matter what. Right now, we use national ratings. At least we did in season 2024. We might migrate to something different. There's some other options in the NTPL, the National Team Pickleball League. We're using, not that Apple is, but the NTPL is going to, at least for now, use the average. If you have a national rating, you use the average of whatever national ratings you have. And that's a good idea. It might take some of the variability out of it and the staleness out of some that don't apply. But so I could go on forever, but that's how I feel about ratings. I don't enjoy not having control, and I really think for a league to be successful, it has to have control. And I think we have, and the NTPL is also kind of subscribing to the same roadmap that we are. I think we have an opportunity to have our control through the pickleball scores rating.
Cool. You know, the something for the viewers that are watching this show, and where ratings are a big issue, you can they can look back into the on Selkirk TV app at the Future of Pickleball, and I had an episode where I interviewed the CEO of Duper with their perspectives on how they do things. That might be something that somebody can get in and talk about, or learn more about on both different sides of things. You know, Greg, this has been great, but I want you to finish up, if you would, with focusing on, you've had this amazing history that's brought us to today. What would you see happening in league play and Duper, or excuse me, league play and Apple over the next 3 to 5 years?
I see over the next 3 to 5 years, I see the venue landscape turning towards league play as an opportunity. And I say venue landscape, what I really mean is not so much I do believe the community parks, like we have great relationships with, will still have a niche there, but there's so many new venues coming up everywhere, as we know, in Phoenix and around the valley. They will, and they've got members, and what their first thing is, don't make the members mad, and I totally respect that. But over time, they'll carve out space because it's good for their business, I think. And I think we'll see the venue landscape start to support league play in a more major way. I see, as far as Apple is concerned, we're literally just about maxed out in the West Valley, and until some additional venue capacity, or a few of the HOAs who can't keep up with their own residents, you know, start building more courts, I think things will lighten up a little bit. But I think that's critical. So we'll enjoy some growth there. But I think if we're focused on standardization and using a format that people enjoy, that makes sense, I see then the national routes taking really good hold. And what will come to pass is, again, people yell at me because I keep using tennis as a good example, because they are a good example. What will come to pass is there'll be regional leagues, and there'll be a lot of teams in those leagues, and a lot of those teams are going to say, I really don't care to play at nationals, or maybe not even states, and that's fine, and they'll be happy, and there'll be a format, though, it'd be the same, much like it is in tennis. And then there'll be the additional leagues. Some of them, like Apple, will be doing both, perhaps. Some of them might be doing one or the other. But the other leagues that offer a pathway to a sectionals and a nationals, that and people like myself are going to play in both of them. And I think a lot of people will do that. And I think 3 to 5 years from now, that'll be a very similar, you know, layout as it has been for 20 some years in tennis.
Greg, I've got to tell you, I've really enjoyed this. This is the kind of interview that I love to do. You know, we've got so much happening in our sport. It's happening at different rates of speed. Arizona happens to be just about going as fast as it is anywhere on earth. But it's fun to be able to have experts like yourself on to talk about what you've actually done, not what you think could be done. So I really appreciate it. You've been a great guest. Thanks so much for joining the Future of Pickleball.